You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Reggie Miller will join us coming up a little bit later on from inside the bubble. He was there for the Lakers beating the Rockets, 36 for LeBron. They go up 2-1. Heat close out the Bucks, and now the drama really begins in Milwaukee. Tonight, Raptors, Celtics, Game 6, Clippers, Nuggets, Game 4. Also, we'll get you ready for the NFL season. It starts tomorrow night, and Pro Football Focus is lending one of their analysts, one of their experts, to talk about certain win totals, over-unders. I'm sure you'll be quite interested in this, for entertainment purposes only. Like, if I said the Jacksonville Jaguars over 5 wins, what would you take? You'd be surprised what Pro Football Focus thinks about the Jags. How about the Washington Football Club? How many wins would you have them? Yeah, you might be surprised. Have that for you coming up. And what we wanted is, Vegas has their win totals, the over-unders, but Pro Football Focus does it differently. Like, they're not doing it for you and trying to get the, you know, money that's moving their line. Like, they're not looking to balance out how much money is bet either for or against a team with a win total. They just, you know, they do their research and say, these are the win totals that they think are going to happen coming up. So we'll dive into that coming up in about 20 minutes. I mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks won as many games in the bubble as the Phoenix Suns did. And the Phoenix Suns didn't make the playoffs. The Bucks went 8-10. The Phoenix Suns, who missed the playoffs, went 8-0 in the bubble. And here's the Greek Freak after last night's loss on what his plans are of staying in Milwaukee.
Nobody's going to be happy, you know, for the outcome that we had in that playoff run. But at the end of the day, you got to learn from everything that goes on in your life and in your career. And hopefully we can learn from this and, you know, get better as a team and come back. And hopefully you can build a culture in Milwaukee that for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
And that's the right thing to say right now. You know, get out of the bubble, go home, regroup, be with your family, and then just stay away from the media and see what happens, what the team is planning on doing. What direction are they going to go in? Do they make a deal for Chris Paul? You know, I've been a big proponent of that for a while. I thought Chris Paul was what they needed. You need to have that experienced guy come playoff time. And they do have some pieces there. I wouldn't have gotten rid of Malcolm Brogdon. You know, when they say, well, 4 years at $85 million, he was a luxury. Well, if I'm spending $21 million on a player, I could do a whole lot worse than Malcolm Brogdon. And you probably wish you had him now, I'm going to guess. But Milwaukee, they don't move on. The Miami Heat are going to wait for the winner of the Celtics and the Raptors. Here is LeBron James after last night's win, a 10-point win, where Rajon Rondo looked great in the fourth quarter. Here's LeBron.
He's been exceptional these last two games. Obviously, that first game, he hadn't played in a while, so it was a fill-out game for him, just like the rest of us. But these last two games is everything that we've imagined being in the postseason. And for me, you know, being in the playoffs and being on the opposing side of him for so many years, I knew what he's capable of, especially in the postseason against those battles. So to now be on the same side as him and seeing, you know, it coming together for the both of us and for our team is perfect.
Yeah, you need that. Rondo is a great postseason player. Not so much regular season, but this is why you brought him in. You need to have that guy, another guy you can count on. Anthony Davis played well, but this is going to come down to, can Kyle Kuzma step up? Who steps up besides LeBron and AD? And Rondo did last night, and the Rockets better grab this next game, or they're done. And you got, you know, both Harden and Westbrook scoring 30, and you still didn't pick up the victory. LeBron looked great offensively and defensively. I still never understood, don't understand why he's not a better free throw shooter. I don't know what his numbers are in the fourth quarter of shooting free throws in the postseason, but they can't be pretty numbers. And that's the one thing where attention to detail, wanting to be great, and not being a great free throw shooter. Those guys who have the ball, I want to know what your free throw percentage is. If you're going to have the ball, are you a 75% free throw shooter? Are you 80% free throw shooter? And that's why, you know, Harden has the ball. If he gets fouled, he goes to the line, he makes his free throws. Greek Freak has the ball, gets fouled, goes to the free throw line, doesn't make his free throws. You got to have the guy who has the ball who's a great free throw shooter. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think some players are unwilling to redo their shooting stroke at the free throw line? Because if you practice a bad shooting stroke forever, it's not going to get better. You know.
Well, there are guys that it doesn't look good, but the end result is very good. LeBron, it looks like he wants to get the free throw over with. There are other guys who milk it. Like they kind of get in their moment and they take their time. LeBron, it looks like he wants to get it over with. And it's not a bad-looking shot. I mean, he's never been a great shooter. He's a great scorer. And he's improved his three-point shooting. But that free throw line, I need you got to make at least 78% of your free throws. Yeah, McLovin.
Maybe it's because he's tired, because he's doing so much. Like last night, he was doing everything.
Yeah.
He was running around, blocking shots, assists,
yeah, but
points.
What are his free throw percentages?
Well, he's like around, you know, he was 70 this year.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, like Harden's like 85, 86,
yes.
87.
And that's where he gets the ball and he goes to the line and he's going to kill you. And LeBron, you're going to have a game that comes up in the postseason where he's going to be on the line and it's going to be a big moment. And, you know, you got to knock those down. And he's not a late in the game, clutch, knockdown free throw shooter. I mean, I'm nitpicking here of one of the five greatest players to ever play the game, but you must improve your free throw shooting. And he hasn't. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, if you look at the bubble stats, Giannis is the second worst free throw shooter in the bubble at 58%.
Yeah.
And LeBron's down towards the bottom at 71%. Anthony Davis is 71%.
Yeah, you can't have that. You're two best players and you're shooting 70% from the line. And they're the ones that have the ball 75% of the time.
Here's a shocker. Bam Adebayo is a 87% free throw shooter in the bubble.
Yeah.
Big dude.
Yeah. Well, I remember when they'd say, well, Shaq can't make free throws because his hands are so big. Kawhi Leonard makes free throws. I mean, there's a lot of guys who make free throws. Yeah, like Shaq's hands are so big that he can't shoot a free throw. Kristaps Porzingis is a really good free throw shooter. Shaq just doesn't have good form. It was more of a shot put. You know, he didn't have a follow through there. That's why he didn't shoot free throws well. Yeah, McLovin.
Brooke Lopez, fire from free throw.
Well,
84% this year.
He became a very good shooter. He reinvented himself. Yeah, see.
Wonder how much of that is era that you grew up in, though. Like, Shaq grew up as a big man.
Yeah.
You know? You didn't work on things like that because you were always 2 feet from the basket.
Yeah, but you get fouled. And then there's nothing more embarrassing than going to the line and missing two free throws. You know? And that's where, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, would not shoot underhand. Like, he would try to shoot, and he actually backed up to the top of the key. He didn't shoot from the free throw line. And Rick Barry is one of the great free throw shooters of all time. And he shot underhand. There's nothing more embarrassing than when you go to the line, everybody's watching, and you clank a couple of free throws. I would rather shoot underhand. If I said to Shaq, you could shoot underhand and shoot 80%, or you could shoot the way you did and shoot 60%. A lot of these guys, their ego would be, I'm not shooting underhand. Yeah, but you're going to make 80%. I don't care. Yeah, Paul.
Ben Simmons, career 59% from the free throw line.
And he handles the ball all the time. I don't want my star player who handles the ball all the time, who can't shoot free throws. I can't have that liability in a playoff game. Because it comes down to one or two possessions, maybe a big free throw, a couple of free throws, make, miss, decide a game. Decide if you move on. Decide a championship. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle is @DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock, our TV partners, and also our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362. McLovin has a poll question with surprising results.
All right, who is most likely to be on another team at this time next year? The choices being Giannis, Aaron Rodgers, or Dak Prescott. Your leader.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, 46%. Giannis, 32%. Dak, 20%.
Yeah, I don't think Dak is going anywhere. Unless they felt like, okay, we didn't achieve what we thought we were going to. Let's cut ties with him so we're not spending $39 million a year on Dak Prescott. Let's have Andy Dalton step in for a year And then we try to figure out what our next, you know, strategy is as far as quarterbacks go. But I expect Dallas to have one of the better offenses, one of the top five offenses in the NFL. Therefore, Dak Prescott should be having a very good year. And I don't see Dallas moving on. I thought this offseason, the longer it went, that maybe they were saying, you know what, he's not in our long-term plans. Yes, McLovin.
They have a very good offense. I know we'll get into this. They have like five Pro Bowlers on defense.
Yeah. Well, you do become a lot better or more recognized because you play for the Cowboys. Okay? Right?
Well, Leighton Vander Esch.
Like Sean Lee, for years, it was like, man, Sean Lee's a great linebacker.
He was a great linebacker.
Yeah, he was a good linebacker and he couldn't stay healthy. But because he played for the Cowboys, then all of a sudden he was elevated. If he played for Buffalo, we wouldn't talk about Sean Lee.
Well, so who's the current Charlie? DeMarcus Lawrence? Does he get more? He gets a lot of money.
Yes, he gets. Yeah, absolutely.
Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, a linebacker. They're pretty awesome.
I like Smith. That's a great story. Vander Esch is a good story as well. But they're, I think because they play for the Cowboys, they get far more attention. And maybe we look at them as being better than. You can't have five Pro Bowl players in that offense and you don't make the playoffs. Like something's not right there. Are you truly Pro Bowl players? Because the offense outscored the opposition by over 100 points last season. How did the defense do with all those Pro Bowlers? Yes, Paulie?
Off the top of everyone's head, the last year the Cowboys made the NFC title game. Oh, jeez.
I think I know the answer to this.
Go for it.
In the 96?
It's 93.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl that year. Yeah.
Wait.
I'm double checking here.
No, they won in 96, right? 95?
95. I'm sorry. Yeah, 95. 95, they won the Super Bowl. So, yeah, 95 was the last time they made the NFC title game.
Ouch. Yeah. Some other NFL news. Von Miller might be out for the season with an ankle injury. Suffered, I think, on the last play of practice yesterday. And you also had DeAndre Hopkins getting paid. So, Deshaun Watson got paid. DeAndre Hopkins. Kareem Hunt just got re-upped in Cleveland. I don't know where all this money is coming from because it feels like with that salary cap, it seems to be going to go down by a considerable amount because of the loss of revenue this season. Next year, even the most serious capologists are going to run into trouble because the cap in all sports is going to go down and go down significantly. And that could mean some good teams find themselves in a tight situation. When players sign deals, they always sound huge, right? Every deal sounds like, wow, that's incredible. And it's kind of monopoly money. Then we find out the details, and usually the guarantee is a lot lower than what we think. It's front-loaded. They can get out, you know, the last couple of years of the deal. But you're going to have to start tightening your financial belts here, I think, in all sports coming up. Yeah, Paul?
I was looking at the Arizona Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald, you could find a whole bunch of articles from this time in 2016, right before the season. Larry Fitzgerald's last season, he's about to announce it's his last season. It was like the walk-off tour. That was 3 years ago. He caught 107 balls, 109 balls, 69 balls, 75 balls the past four seasons since it was supposed to be his last season. And there's no rumors to him that he's retiring anytime soon.
Well, I think having Kyler Murray helps out. Then you get DeAndre Hopkins helps out. And that might extend Larry Fitzgerald's career at least two more years, this season and next season. But he's going to get to the point, if he has two really productive seasons, that he is going to stay around for a third season to go after Jerry Rice's all-time record for catches. Because he's less than 300 away.
I think he's 171 catches away from Jerry Rice.
Oh, okay.
I think it's...
That's it?
1549 to 1378. Quick math, I think it's 171.
Oh, okay. That's a lot closer than I thought. So
he's 171 to tie Jerry Rice. That'd be two seasons with 86 catches. I think he would be past him.
Man,
that's some work to do.
That might be one of those where he has to decide if he wants to come back for an entire season because he's nine catches away. But is that the best division in football? Is the NFC West the best division? Seattle, I think Seattle wins the division. San Francisco, the Rams to me, that may go bad. Arizona is on the rise. Yeah, McLovin.
Is there a chance the Rams could go good, too?
Well, I guess there always is, but it just feels like you talk about fading. Like, we're not talking about Sean McVay the way we once did, or Jared Goff the way we once did, Cooper Kupp the way we once did. They don't have Todd Gurley anymore. You have Aaron Donald there. How much talent do you have there? Josh Norman? Fun. By the way, what was Hard Knocks missing this year? It just felt like there was no central theme other than how are we getting by with the coronavirus? The safety measures that we have. I thought Anthony Lynn distinguished himself as a leader. You know, the Chargers coach, I'd play for him. But, you know, we'd already seen sort of the Sean McVay, Jared Goff. There was no preseason. That really hurt, I think. But I don't know if people really care what's going on. Jalen Ramsey and the Rams have agreed to a new contract extension. We're talking about all this money. I don't know where it's coming from. Adam Schefter reports that Jalen Ramsey's going to get a five-year, $105 million extension, averaging $21 million per year, the largest contract signed by a cornerback. That's according to Adam Schefter. Yes, McLovin.
I would say on Hard Knocks, last night they did a little bit on Derwin James, the Chargers safety who got hurt.
Yeah.
They're saying they were showing some footage that he might be the best defensive player in the defensive back in the league.
Yeah,
he was dominant, and the fact that he got hurt is so tragic in a way.
Yeah, but he was injury prone, I think, going into the draft. Therefore, that's why the Chargers got him where they did.
They were talking about him. Have you heard about him as that kind of glowing player, like
yes.
The new Ed Reed kind of type?
Yeah. Yeah. They really special player.
That's a shame with the Chargers. They have so many interesting players. Bosa, Melvin Ingram.
I know. Nick in Arizona. Hi, Nick. What do you have for me today?
Hey, go ahead. Hey, DB, 6 feet, 200. Hey, going back to the NBA, you had chatted earlier about CP3 saying you don't see him with OKC. I was just chatting with my buddies, and he's owed like $40 million over the next 2 years. Where do you see him going if not OKC?
I just thought that a great spot for him would be Milwaukee. And thanks for the call, Nick. And I don't have any inside information on that. That's just a gut feeling that I was so impressed by Chris Paul this year. And the fact he got kicked to the curb and, you know, I don't think Oklahoma City realized what they had. Because I think they thought maybe, hey, we'll take Chris Paul and we're in a rebuild. And then all of a sudden they're in the playoffs and Chris Paul is playing extremely well. And then you go to seven games against the Rockets. I don't know how much longer Chris Paul wants to play. Obviously, with the 2 years and $40 million or whatever he's owed, Milwaukee would be maybe a great destination for him and helping the Greek Freak. Because Chris can play half court. And, you know, regular season's one thing. Postseason basketball, it's about half court. We'll take a break. The over-unders this year on some teams. How many wins do you have for the Patriots? How about Jacksonville? Are they truly tanking? How about Washington? Who will be the worst team in the NFL? And some surprising win totals. We'll dive into that with the help of Pro Football Focus. That'll be coming up. Reggie Miller in an hour from now. It's 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. When it comes to a great hire for your business, you're up against some obstacles. A lot of applicants. It's difficult finding the right one for your job or finding the time to hire somebody. You got to run your business. Plus, everybody's worried about ensuring workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare, to manufacturing, to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier, and you can try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. First, when you post the job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology will hustle to find the right people with the right experience for your job. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster, and that'll help you win the hiring game. Try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. And always remember that ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. This just in, ACC coaches will propose an all-inclusive NCAA tournament, according to sources telling Jeff Goodman. The coaches just finished the call and voted unanimously on this. Well, it's nice the ACC is running college basketball. Shouldn't they ask a couple other people about this? The ACC says everybody's in the NCAA tournament. Everybody's in the pool. I probably prefer the NCAA is involved. The NCAA runs March Madness. You know, whereas the Power Five conferences, they run the football program. Yeah, see.
The NCAA has completely disappeared for the better part of the year.
Yes,
so
they have.
I think it's nice that the ACC, somebody stepping up and being like, hey, have we thought about March and maybe looking at a tournament? Here's what we propose.
Yes, Paulie.
How many Division I college basketball teams do you think there are? I was way low. My number in my head was like 220.
I know. Wait, like these are Division I?
Division I men's basketball programs.
330.
350. And climbing. There's seven more that are transitioning from D2 to D1. The tournament's got to start an hour and a half ago.
Yes, Todd.
What if you're a bracketologist? You're pretty much out on the street and homeless. There's no bubble teams. Who's in? Who's out? Everybody's in. We don't need you anymore.
Joe Lunardi's out of work. We just put him out of work. Everybody's in. Hey, there's no bubble teams.
Go fund me.
Yeah. All right. I'm always curious for, you know, entertainment purposes, since I don't bet anymore. Like over-unders, we always talk about over-unders. We're looking at, is Jacksonville tanking? How many games can they possibly win? What about Washington? Paulie thinks the Raiders are going to be one of the three worst teams in football, record-wise. George Chiruri of Pro Football Focus. He's the director of content, co-host of the Pro Football Focus forecast, and he joins us now. Your job is crunching numbers here, George. So let me start with over-unders. Now, your over-unders are different than what Vegas has, but what are the metrics that you have in trying to come up with what is going to be the win total for teams?
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is pretty good at what they do, obviously. When we try and figure it out, we simulate the season 10,000 times, and we have our own power numbers that are built off of the PFF grading that largely goes into determining who wins these games. And then we look at and compare those to the Vegas total. We say, okay, what percent of the time is this team going to win more or less than the Vegas win total? And then we go spend all our money.
All right. How much is this year's prediction based off last year for a team?
A decent amount. A decent amount. I mean, how good a team is the year before is largely indicative of what they'll be this year. But we shouldn't forget that those teams tend to regress a little bit. So we probably have really rose-colored glasses when we look at the Chiefs. And we probably feel not so great about the Texans, and maybe we should temper those a little bit.
All right, let me start at the bottom. The team that will have the fewest wins this year will be?
This pains me because I actually like the Jaguars. I like Gardner Minshew, but that is the odds-on favorite. I'll give you a sleeper, though. I think the Panthers are very close. I do not think the Panthers are very good. We have them with just a few tenths of a win more on average than the aforementioned Jaguars. The tough thing for the Jaguars, they keep shipping out talent, but they have a quarterback in Gardner Minshew who people think is just languishing there. He earned the highest grade of any rookie quarterback last season. He's not bad. He's an accurate thrower of the football, and that often wins you a certain number of games. So I do think it'll be closer than people think.
All right, the over-under for those teams is what, 5?
Yeah, so I believe for the Jaguars, it's 4.5,
okay,
which is really low.
And are you saying take the over for the Jags?
It's tough because do you want to sit there and watch a team tanking? It's not one of my favorites. If I had to take over or under, I would definitely go over, though.
Okay. What is your favorite team for over under?
This is tough because earlier in the offseason, I would have said the Lions. The Lions, I believe, were 6.5 to open, and we were on them right away because Matt Stafford was tremendous last year. Second highest graded quarterback from a clean pocket before he got injured. That offense was awesome. And then everyone, you know, saw them just be terrible down the stretch. But they're a good team. 6.5. It's now 7. I still like the over there. We have them clearing that total like 65% of the time. And then another one, I think you guys mentioned them earlier, the Washington football team. I got that right. I'm proud of myself there. Five and a half, yeah, depending on where you look. This is kind of a fade on the Eagles as well. Not super high on them. I think they're going to struggle a little bit. The Giants, obviously not the greatest team in the world. And what they did last year with Jay Gruden and that debacle, I expect Dwayne Haskins to look more like he did after the bye when he was a top 10 graded quarterback.
How many wins? You're saying take the over for Washington?
I would take the over. I would take the over, yeah.
What's the surprising win total that you look at that maybe they're better than expected?
Better than expected. I mean, there are a couple here. I would say one that sticks out to me, a team that I think is probably overvalued by the market a little bit, surprisingly, is the Ravens. The Ravens win total is 11.5, and they were all just fantastic last year, obviously 14 wins, but they had great game scripts. They were the only team that ran fewer than 100 plays when trailing in the first half. They just never had to throw the ball. And so Lamar Jackson was always in control. If they win 11 games this year, that will be an impressive season. I think Lamar could improve and they win 11 or fewer games this season.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. It felt like that was a little aggressive with the Ravens. I think the Steelers are good. If, you know, Ben is back, and if Ben is healthy, I don't know what you think of the Steelers. Do you like the Steelers or the Browns more as far as a win total?
I have them. We have them right there neck and neck. Very, very close. I would lean Browns. Our simulation leans Browns. And here's why. Ben Roethlisberger, we go back 2 years to think about when he was at the top of his game. But he struggled 2 years ago and at the start of last year and then got hurt. And they don't have Antonio Brown anymore. Juju Smith-Schuster did not look like the guy that he did alongside Antonio Brown last season. So I'm going to temper those expectations on the Steelers just a bit. Plus, I think they had 41 turnovers. That number is going to regress. I mean, they're a great defense, but you're just not going to get that kind of turnover luck.
I was wondering about the Rams. Like, it feels like they're middle of the road. You know, it feels like everybody jumped off the Super Bowl bandwagon, and I don't know where we are with. I think Seattle might be the class in that division as opposed to San Francisco, but your thoughts on the NFC West?
The NFC West is an interesting one to me because the Niners, they're at 10.5. I could definitely see, I feel like they are a team that the under is a smart play there. The simulation would back that up as well. So I'm under on the Niners a little bit. The Rams, that number has come down. I believe it opened at 8.5. And that number has come down. We bet it earlier in the year, and that number has just shot down. They did not invest in their offensive line. That was the one thing they had to get better at. They didn't invest in it. So I'm pretty worried about the Rams. It would not surprise me if they're the worst team in the NFC West after this season. It really wouldn't.
What about the Packers?
Sorry, say that again.
What about the Packers?
So the Packers are tricky because they're a team that we look at their draft and we go, okay, they drafted poorly, or at least many people think they drafted poorly. But the draft doesn't impact that following season as much as we want to believe. They still have the best quarterback in that division. They still have Davante Adams, the best receiver in that division. And they have probably the best defense in that division as well.
And running back.
And running back, for what that matters. Maybe both of them. I look at the Vikings and I go, is that really the team that's going to dethrone the Packers? They're bringing in like 20 draft picks, you know? So talk about continuity there. I know that, you know, in some places the Vikings are the favorite, and I would lean Packers there.
Do you rank quarterbacks?
Of course.
Number one quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Number two is?
Russell Wilson.
Okay. Number three?
This is where it gets tricky for me. Number three for this season?
Now, is this opinion or numbers here, George?
Well, look, we can do both. We rank them based on PFF grade from last season, and then we regress it a little bit to what we expect them to be this season. So our number three quarterback, just purely based on numbers, heading into the season is Drew Brees. But if you're looking at, you know, me to project it forward a little bit, I hesitate there. I'm just not sold that he can sustain it long term.
What about Dak Prescott?
Dak is tough because he was a guy that graded 10th last year, and the numbers looked really good for the Cowboys. They were the best team in terms of yards per pass play, but it didn't materialize when it really mattered. If I had to, I would take him in that 7 to 10 range, but he's not top five for me.
What about MVP? Do you rank MVP candidates?
I looked at this right before I came on because I was hoping you'd ask me. So Mahomes, I believe, is 5-1 right now, and he should be the favorite, but those odds are just way too steep. A couple of values that I think are there. Russell Wilson, who I believe is 14-1. We would make him more like 11-1. He should have been, by our wins above replacement metric, the MVP last season. Now, Lamar Jackson was incredible statistically, but what Russell Wilson does as a passer generates more value. I think he's got a great shot. And then a long shot for you, this will surprise some people. He's 33-1, Matt Ryan. Think about this. If that Falcons team puts it together on offense and they somehow win that division, and there's some questions there, continuity for Tampa Bay, Drew Brees, can he sustain? That would give him a real shot to be the most efficient passer in the league, which often is what determines who wins MVP.
And I know you brought up Russell Wilson, and I've been a big proponent of him. You know, what he does for his team is more than any other quarterback, in my opinion. But you also have to factor in storyline. Lamar Jackson was a great storyline. So to win the MVP, the writers love to have a great story, a new story, a fresh story. And Lamar Jackson was certainly that. And I think that factored in. He had a great season. I don't know if he was any more. He wasn't more valuable to his team, in my opinion, than Russell was to Seattle.
You're spot on, right? You're trying to predict what people are going to feel.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, though, to me, he's a freak. So how do you predict freak events, right? That's hard to do. So take the guy who, and Russell Wilson, honestly, has been overlooked for a while. I agree with you wholeheartedly. He does so much for that team. And there's going to be a little bit more of a focus on them this year, I think, given how close they were last year. They've got Jamal Adams in there, adds a little bit more of star power to that team. And we all talk about this with regard to Pete Carroll, wanting him to let Russ cook a little bit, you know, let him throw the ball on early downs a little bit more because he's so efficient. Maybe he leans into it. I have faith Pete Carroll listens, that he wants to embrace change. So maybe he gives him a few more passing attempts.
Who's your Super Bowl pick?
This one is tough for me because I am from the Bay Area. So I suffered through that Niners Super Bowl. I want to see them go back. But I believe it will be Chiefs-Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever get in fights? Like stat fights?
All the time.
Yeah.
That's what we have, a company Slack chat, and it's really just arguing about stats all day long.
Any punches ever thrown?
Well, thanks to the pandemic, no, because no one can reach anybody.
In previous years, George, was there any tempers flare?
You know, the funny thing is that people get way more angry and fool themselves online. And then when you're in the same room, things calm down a little bit. That's why I always like having people talk it out, you know, on a podcast as opposed to Twitter, because it tends to mellow people out a little bit.
Great stuff, George. Enjoy the season. We appreciate your time.
Anytime, Dan. Thank you.
And that's George Tarouri, Pro Football Focus, Director of Content, co-host of Pro Football Focused Forecast, joining us. You know, people love the Lions, and they talk about Matthew Stafford before he got hurt, that he was playing the best football of his career. Falcons, I think, are sneaky to make the playoffs. I agree with Carolina, Jacksonville, Washington, probably going to fight it out for the number one. You know, what does Washington do? If they have 5 wins and they end up with a number one pick, do they take Trevor Lawrence? Carolina does have Teddy Bridgewater. If they have the number one pick, you're taking Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew is good, but he's not great. He's not Trevor Lawrence. And if you don't have a marquee star quarterback, then you don't have a franchise. You got to have that guy that everybody knows. Hey, when you think of that team, how many teams, when I say that team, do you think of somebody other than the quarterback? So if I just run down the list, if I go Lions, Matthew Stafford, Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, Packers, Aaron Rodgers, Patriots, Cam Newton, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, Saints, Drew Brees, Now I get to the Chargers and you may go Bosa. I may go to the Niners and I may go Bosa. I may go Rams and I go Aaron Donald. Seattle, Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray in Arizona. The Bears. Khalil Mack. So you got to have that quarterback. Carolina, Christian McCaffrey. The Texans, Deshaun Watson. Indianapolis, I guess Phillip Rivers, just because he got there, but you,
Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Peyton Manning.
Honestly, you're really still thinking.
Oh, I'm glad you remember me.
All right, let me take a break here. I hope you enjoyed that segment because I wanted to have, you know, Pro Football Focus does such a great job. I wanted to know not what Vegas is saying is the over-under, because I wanted you to use the information you got from Pro Football Focus, then look at the Vegas over-unders. We'll come back after this. Reggie Miller, next hour from the bubble. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get a couple of phone calls in here. Wes in Michigan. He's all over the Detroit Lions over-under. Hi, Wes.
Hey, how's it going? Before I get started here, I'd like to say I try to remain positive about my Detroit Lions. 22 right now, but it's hard when everybody, aunts, uncles, mom, dad says, yeah, this is 60 years of this. In the state, we have this philosophy, same old Lions, whether that be the ref screws us up, just countless amount of just mistakes, GM bad decisions. If you use, and I respect Pro Football Focus, but I think for that six, I think it was six and a half wins, you got to use the 60-year-old, same old Lions excuse and know that there's no way they hit that number.
Well, if Stafford stays healthy, thank you, Wes, and, you know, this – coaching staff is all in this year, because if it didn't go well this year, you're probably looking at a new coaching staff there. Stafford played well, extremely well, when he was healthy. And they got weapons. In that division, I don't know what Green Bay is going to be. Minnesota should be formidable. I don't know what to expect out of Chicago. Maybe you can eke out 7 wins there. Maybe. You know, you go back to the 70s, and that's when quarterbacks were not the stars in the NFL. Late 70s, the biggest stars were Tony Dorsett, Earl Campbell, Walter Payton. And then the West Coast offense and the Niners changed everything. When you think about it, they ushered in the quarterback era. Because quarterbacks in the 70s, they were more game managers. You know, if you had, you know, even early or late 60s, early 70s, Bart Starr. Bob Greasy, like they weren't guys who put up big numbers. And then all of a sudden it's Montana, Marino, Elway, Fouts, and then we never look back. It became a quarterback league after that. And here we are now. It's definitely a quarterback league. Esteban in California. Esteban, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Danette. Just first off, thank you for the show. It's been a blessing for this time right now. Just want to say I am I'm active duty military, 65 inches, 165 pounds. Just wanted to issue a pie in the face challenge to Paulie for his egregious take on my Raiders of going over or under. So I kind of want to raise the bar a little bit at 9, and I'll take the over. And if he takes the under and wins, I'll get 2 pies in my face from my fellow Marines. And if he loses, then Dan, I'd like you to give him a pie in the face.
Okay. Paulie, are you willing to accept Esteban's wager there?
Of course. What, it sounds like a good guy. He's a fan of his team, good soldier. I'm glad to take the bet.
Okay, so the over-under, you're taking over 9 wins for the Raiders, Esteban.
Yes.
Do you want to just hit yourself in the face with the pies now and get it over with? Save us all a lot of time. Thank you for your service.
All right. We'll file it away, and then we'll get to the point of the regular season when the Raiders won't be able to get to 10 wins, and then you call in, and we'll make sure that you videotape that with your fellow Marines peppering you with a couple of pies.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, Estuan. Yes, McLovin.
You like the Raiders. You liked them last year.
I'm just trying to spice this up a little
bit. I'm so into this bet. This is made. I love all these bets are making everything worth watching.
I know. Pie to the face with Esteban. So he's got the Raiders have to win 10. They over when you say they're going to go over 9, that means they're going to 10. Yeah, Paulie.
And being a Marine, we're calling this bet Semper Pi. Semper Fi. That's the Marine. That's what the Marines say.
Mm.
He'll like that.
The Marines in the audience are like, yeah.
Everyone knows Semper Fi.
My dad was a Marine and I didn't know it.
Ah.
But it's going to go well in the military.
The Marine community?
Yes. Yeah. We're big in the Marine Corps. A few good men.
Semper Pi.
Yeah, Semper Pi. That would have been a Todd one, and I would have went.
Let's put it this way. If you see a guy who's got a Semper Fi bumper sticker, don't get in a fight with him. Just a great piece of advice.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think the Navy SEAL. Now, do you worry about the Navy SEAL or the Ranger, Army Ranger?
My dad was an airborne Ranger in the Army. They seemed to be pretty tough. They were more like gutsy because they jumped out of planes daily. I don't know how, if they were.
The Navy SEAL makes me nervous.
They could kill you with a toothbrush.
Like they're underwater and like they're doing stuff. Like they're kind of the MacGyver of the military. They're going to get something done. You don't know how they're getting it done, but they're getting it done. I'd be nervous about a Navy SEAL. Navy SEAL or college wrestler in a bar.
Wrestlers won't kill you. They'll break stuff and bend stuff and cauliflower your ear.
Yeah. Whenever I would see the cauliflower ear, I just went, ooh, hey, can I get you a beer? Yeah, McLovin.
Side poll question. Okay. Which will we screw up more this year, Las Vegas Raiders or Washington football team?
Washington football team. Because we still, I call them the Washington football club. Because I joked about that. Prior to them naming themselves the Washington football team, I said, they should just do what soccer does. Make it the Washington football club. And then it was like a day later, it's like, Paulie goes, do you hear Washington's nickname? I go, no, what is it? And he goes, the Washington football team. I go, no, it's not. He goes, yeah, it's Washington football team. And I'd been joking, call him Washington football club. You want to keep that same poll question as we go into the final hour?
We can mix it up. Who's most likely not to be on the same team a year from now? Aaron Rodgers still leading.
All right.
Then Giannis.
Yeah.
We could get into some of these over-under NFL questions. Ooh. I like this Raiders thing. I'm looking at they're breaking down their schedule. 9-7 if all goes well.
Yeah, but 9-7 won't win Esteban the bet. They got to go 10-6 if all goes well. We'll also check in with Reggie Miller. He was there as the Lakers beat the Rockets last night, 36 for LeBron. One more hour to go on this Wednesday, Dan Patrick Show.